Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back into the Glass Cannon. I am Ryan Holland, and I am a gateway to adventure. And everybody here is going to be walking right through me into the glorious world of Pendragon in the year of our Lord 506. No, I don't know. You make that my lower third. Gateway to adventure.
Gateway to adventure.
Yeah, I'm going to get that. Get business cards next to MC of Vibes. Is what I'm going to do. So, welcome back. We're here. We're still playing Pendragon. Today, we're going to do the epilogue for our most recent story, and also yet another winter phase. And if this is your first time watching through, it is downtime, but it is. I promise you, it's exciting. If you're not normally the type of person who likes to check out the more mechanical side of things, I would say just look, stick around, like passively consume it a little bit, see if it's for you. But there is some really cool, fun stuff that happens, and as we'll prove as we go on in the story, there will be references to stuff that happens during the winter phase. But you know, you won't be lost. We'll mention that at the time. So, how's everyone feeling? We're feeling
great.
Good. It's been like a week. Dude. Right? Yeah.
What did you say in here?
It's been like a week since we saw each other.
I know. Hard to keep all these facts straight. But I was just earlier today, Skid and Paula and I were recording another show. And I was just reminiscing about how cruel Sir Quigan was to that poor woman.
We were just talking about it. Yes. Yeah. A lot of moral quandaries.
She's just like, I just want to live my best life. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you how to live your life. Because I'm a knight.
And Paula, did you have a haircut?
No, I trimmed my bangs. I pulled back the sides a little. No, I actually really need a haircut. Look how long it's getting. And it's like, it's too much bulk right here. I need to get the layers refreshed a little so that it, you know.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
This
I appreciate that.
The longest I've seen your hair.
I haven't had it this long in a while. Yeah.
This is great for everyone listening at home. They have gone to jointhenaish.com and they have signed up to subscribe to get the audio version of this podcast.
Yes, exactly. So you can definitely not see Paula's hair.
My hair is pulled back on the sides, everyone. It is
It
long.
Looks great. I like the pullback on the sides. Yeah. I feel like it's almost like thematic. It's like,
it's like say.
Renaissance fair.
I almost did that today. I almost did it, and then I
forgot.
You
can do it next week.
Yeah, but I have the puff sleeves.
I was gonna compliment. Yes. I really like your top.
Thank you.
And unless I'm wearing a cap in my very best Troy Lavelle impression. So my level best here.
Well, just sitting here with my American GM playing a little Pendragon. Act natural, everyone. Act natural.
I mean, you're going to have to be meaner to us if you want to have a really accurate Troy impression.
Yeah.
No, that's my impression okay. of that's Troy. Okay. He's only GM's
me. Your character's like intense. Twice. Let me crush your dreams real quick.
All right. So before we get started, one thing is that the Pendragon Game Master Handbook is now available from chaosium.com in your friendly local game store.
Yes.
And you can get it on chaosium.com along with anything else from the Pendragon or RuneQuest lines. And save yourself 15% by using the code PENCANON2 at yes. checkout. So don't forget, if you want to enjoy the winter phase and all the fun other things, and I'm going to actually, during today's winter phase, hopefully be revealing something from another upcoming Pendragon publication that we haven't yet talked about. So oh everyone get very excited. So when we last left our intrepid group of knights, they were dealing with a moral quandary.
Hmm.
Yes, yeah. we were.
So we now return to, and remind me, were you still in the forest or did you say like we're going to go back to the village at the end of the last episode?
Well, I feel like we didn't settle on anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like we just kind of stayed in the forest.
I just sort of cut you off
because it sounds like everyone was still, you had some ideas about what you were going to do about this problem, but you haven't necessarily locked it down exactly. So we return now to our knights where they are deliberating the outcome for a most unusual situation. So you're still in the south of Modron's Forest, south of the village where you made friends, where you met Llewellyn, where you met Lord Idwalin. And the woman Drusilla is still nearby, seems very anxious. She's sitting by the pond. And all of you seem to be here to decide her fate and that of her child, and potentially her husband Hugin.
Well, I think we went back and forth a lot about it, and I can tell you that I slept on it and was like, I think we just have to give this baby to the lady and raise him, you know, as somebody else's baby, right?
Can we get Lady Montacute to take this baby?
We get an heir, even if it's fake, and we're all lying thieves, but, you know, whatever. it's certainly better than the alternative. I feel like, yes, it's a moral quandary, but it's a choice between bad and worse. Like, there's no good outcome here, but there is a potential one if this child ends up being raised in a happy house and you know.
And to be a noble. I mean, that's a pretty good outcome for the baby.
It's a pretty good outcome for a peasant baby. Absolutely.
this might be a net zero glory point situation.
This is really, really tricky. This is incredibly, incredibly tricky. But it's funny, too, like because, least... like, well, just like with us, like, we have our personal sort of morality, but we're also sort of beholden to a code of conduct.
Exactly.
That we have to interpret.
Yeah.
And so it's very tricky.
At least as long as we don't dip into the negative, then I feel like we're okay doing our best.
Yeah, if we can keep our honor even keel and save a child and give them a better life, I think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
and give this woman a better life, right? If that's what she wants, if she doesn't actually want to be a housekeeper type, you know?
Here's what else.
Yeah, she'll be dead in about a week.
That's what she
wants.
She's
living in the woods. She'll have a sword.
She might be good at that. But it's what she wanted.
Exactly. It's what she wanted.
Yeah. We could also look at it like this. I've been trying to figure out how to justify, like, Paula wants to take this baby away and pawn it off as Lady Montacute's kid. But it's hard to justify that as the character, because I have a 17 in honest, and this is not honest, though you could argue it is potentially merciful, but also this baby does have this tattoo.
Yes.
Yes.
So and I forgot. I did have one other thing. I didn't want to get... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to, just to finish the thought, is I could almost maybe justify Dame Fiona saying, look, we have to take this baby because we have to show this tattoo to Lady Montacute, because it's the same tattoo that was on the giant. And does she know something about this? And maybe that's how I figure out how to justify this action. I don't know. What were you gonna say?
I was going to say, and I forgot, I had this thought a week ago after we had logged off, which was like, I was kind of hesitant about it in the episode, but then I thought about it afterwards and I was like, you know, there, the other solution here is I could take the baby and just raise the baby. Like, there is that option, right? Mm. Like,
yeah.
And I'm looking at myself. I'm like, oh, what, he's cruel. He's not merciful, whatever. But you could also interpret this a few different ways, you know, one of which is, you know, his selfishness could, you know, he could be like, I want one of my own to mold, right, in my whatever. And there are no prospects for Sir Quegan right now. You know, he does not have any particular love interests, and there's nothing that's looking very hopeful.
Is he a notorious lover of children, perhaps?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is
he just loves kids.
Loves being around kids, yeah.
Right. Yeah. All I'm saying is it's just an option that isn't a lie, right? That isn't deceitful and saves the baby, and we can keep an eye on it if something about this tattoo is, you know, a problem. That was my big hesitation, is like, I don't want this kid inheriting land if it's a Saxon, you know, baby that's going to end up, I don't know. Yeah. So
anyway. I mean, and there's certainly nothing better for the baby than to be raised by a cruel, selfish father, single father in the Dark Ages.
Yeah, get him a copy, get him a scroll, the scroll edition of What to Expect When You're Expecting. That's all good.
Well, all right, anybody could take it, but, you know.
So the characters need to make this decision now. So Drusilla is nearby, and you can essentially just leave her as you would and return to the village. But the issue is, you need to tell, one, Hugin what's going on, but then also explain to Lord Idwalan. And you could arguably do that at the same time. You could summon them, tell Llewellyn to summon them to the hall and discuss it there, if that's what you'd like to do. But you all need to be in the same. I suppose you could then later decide, you know, if Sir Quegan's actually going to take the child, because there's a chance Lady Montague will be like, no, thank you. Right, yeah. You don't know that. So that could
very
be
true.
A backup.
Like, why are you pawning off this demon child on me?
Yeah. And I guess
just assumed that you'd want this.
Yeah.
Like this orphan. Like
I how we didn't ask her at all.
No. Yeah, we have so much respect for one woman's desire on how she wants to live, and almost none for the lady we work for.
Hey, listen, net zero. We're still good.
Maintaining the balance.
Right. And this is all obviously operating under the assumption that, one, Hugin wants us to take the baby, which, and once he knows it's not a changeling, which is possible, or he'll never believe it's not a changeling.
Yeah, I don't think he...
And that we get the permission of Idwalan. You know, like, we would have to have his permission too, right? Like,
yeah.
So there's a few steps here before we start to get into the more complicated things.
Are any of us good at lying?
Ooh, probably not me.
I don't think even a skill for that, is there? Is it intrigue?
Well, not even like, I don't mean like good at lying, but okay
deceitful.
With lying. I mean, because all of us are like higher honest than deceitful, right?
I am 5'10 and 10.
Oh, then.
Which means you can choose, it's fine. And you won't necessarily have to roll unless you're Dame Fiona. Maybe she should wait outside. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I just let y'all go do this, because it's very difficult for me to lie, but I kind of also think that I've been convinced. I don't think that the child is a changeling, but there's something about him, I believe, because he has this tattoo, and so I do think we should take him away from here and figure out why he has this tattoo and what it means. So,
I agree.
Well, the father will have to release him to us, to our care, as will Lord Edwalan. So, let's speak with all of them and see what they have to say.
Right then.
Let's head back. And we'll summon them, and we can use Llewellyn to be like, gather the two of them at once. I'd like to have them in the same room at the same time. See how this all goes down.
So you do, that kind of, you return to the village probably, you know, mid-afternoon. By the time you've gone and through the woods and come back and deliberated for so long. And Hugin, Lord Idwalan, and Llewellyn, and the druid are assembled in the hall. Lord Idwalan and the druid obviously seated up at the high table. Just a reminder, this is a much smaller hall than Lord Montacute's, which in turn is much smaller than Lord Robert's. And Hugin has placed the child swaddled on the floor and has stepped away from it because he's worried about being too close to the baby. Lord Edwalan is eating grapes, which is very decadent.
Mm.
Yeah.
And upon entering, he goes, yes, come inside. How are you doing? Now, I assume you've perhaps spoken with the Fae, and we now know if we can slaughter the fake child that is before us and make pillows from its innards, which is hay, obviously, because it's a fetch.
My lord, this does not appear to be the case. We did, in fact, find Drusilla in the woods, and she, even herself, has not made any contact with the Fey folk. She simply left the house. She did not. She no longer wanted to be there, I'm sorry to say. And she Hugin said she left the child behind.
By the way, he's looking at her. What do you mean? You saw my wife, you didn't bring her back to me? What?
She would not return, Hugin. She does not wish to live in that household. And I can't imagine why. Certainly nothing you said led us to believe that she was unhappy. Well, she seemed thoroughly unhappy to me.
I just kind of nudge Sir Quigan because I'm like, we still need him to, like, agree to all the things we need to. So maybe just
fired up.
Lord Edwalan goes, ooh, how embarrassing. That is a shame. I can't imagine if my wife just left me because she didn't like me anymore. And he sort of, like, laughs at the druid who is asleep.
Amazing.
Well,
so Lord
anyway.
Edwalan, that said, we have a proposal for you to consider, and you as well, obviously, Hugin. While it is true that we believe this child to not be a changeling, for we saw no fey folk whatsoever, we can, of course, not be 100% certain of that fact, and we thought perhaps we would relieve you of this child rather than have you kill it. We could take it with us and determine on our own if it is a changeling, and if it is not, we will raise it as one of ours. Your thoughts?
Hugin's just aghast. That child has to be a changeling. It has to be. What do you mean? Drusilla won't come home to me. She has to go. I'm her husband. Where is she? I'll go convince her. Where is she? I'll go right now. Tell me where she is.
Boy.
She's a bit stressed right now.
I think she just maybe needs some time to herself for a little bit.
Well, if we tell her that you're planning on taking the child away, then surely she will come back, because a mother's love knows no bounds.
In this case, it has a little bit of bounds.
A little bit of bounds.
She is a true pioneer of motherhood. She has found those boundaries and is exploring them now.
Well, I can't raise a child by myself. I don't milk for one thing.
We will take the child, so you don't have to worry about it. You won't have to worry anymore about whether it is a changeling or not. That will now be our responsibility. As knights, it is our duty to protect those who are not knights. And therefore, we will be merciful upon you and all in this village and relieve you of this burden.
Yes, think of it simply as a consensual kidnapping.
A new start to life.
A rebirth.
Lord Edwalan nods. Just one question. Why do you want this child?
Baby has this mark, you see, and I'll just pick the baby up.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And like...
Oh, yes, we've heard of the mark, yes.
Yes. Now, I have seen this before.
It's a changeling.
No, so you also I don't think so, because we slaughtered a giant who had this same mark.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
Yes, and so I think, we could take this child and investigate further what the mark means. That is why we are interested.
While we couldn't stomach the murder of a child.
That.
No, there was that.
That too.
But of course, nor do we wish to deprive his grace of free hay. This is not our intent.
No. Well, I suppose it really makes no difference to me where the child is raised. It stands to inherit nothing. It stands to really contribute nothing. And its parents are clearly incapable of, you know, even keeping a tidy home, it would seem. And Hugin is aghast again. Like, his whole world is falling apart. He found out that his wife would rather live in the woods. Found out that the child that he'd been neglecting for like 5 days is actually his child, but he also maybe doesn't care about his child and that it's going to be taken away.
Yes.
Well, if he wants to keep the child, then why are we, like,
he hasn't expressed that. It seems like he's torn, but if he says he wants the child, I'm down to leave it. But like,
if you are concerned about having a clean home, worry not. At least your home shall be uncontaminated by children.
Lord Edwalin shakes his head. There's too much. I will not surrender the child to a broken home such as Hugin has presented. It is very embarrassing and is not befitting of my court. So if you wish to take the child, you shall. But should the child come of age, should live through its 15 winters, you must return the child to Hugin so he can be reunited with his father, should Hugin still be alive. Any earnings the child will make in that 15 years, be they meager or large, Hugin will have right to when the child comes of age.
Oh, of course. Is there a discussion of that fact? That is the law,
yeah.
Lord Edwalin. Of course.
Just making it very clear. Hugin, do you find these terms acceptable? Hugin takes a moment, takes a few breaths. He opens his mouth. Lord Edwalin says, all right, thank you. Now, was there anything else? Were you staying for the rest of our Festival of Ostara?
I wouldn't mind, now. But I wouldn't like to, all right.
No, Fiona, I believe, would like to stay and have more pagan time. So we should stay.
Yes, I would love to seek out brightly colored eggs in the woods. precious eggs.
$10 a dozen eggs. Oh man, precious, overpriced, in scarcity eggs.
I don't get these jokes because our eggs are plentiful and
stop bragging.
Makes me want to cry. It's fine. Stop, you mean your bragging. Fowl has not been blighted by illness?
Tainted fowl.
This is the true pagan village is blessed.
All right, so if you do decide to stay for the next couple of days, they pass rather uneventfully. And when the time comes for you to take the child back to Montacute, it's been like 3 or 4 days now since you've gone, so hopefully Lady Montacute doesn't think you're dead. You are saddling your horses. Bojack's taken his saddle off himself somehow in the night. I did that without thumbs. But so you must do that. And you're settling out. And who will be actually cradling the child for the, afternoon's ride home?
Sorry, Dame Sophina? Nora?
Sorry. I say we could take shifts. It doesn't matter. Do I feel like
maybe holding shifts?
Yeah.
Everyone make a spit-up roll.
Sir Quiggle will start, though.
Yeah, make a little swaddle.
A spit-up roll, I was making.
Oh, spit-up. Oh, okay. I thought we were doing a real one. All right.
Babies leak a lot, yeah.
Don't we need like a wet nurse or something though?
Yeah, well, we'd have to figure that out.
They have them at the. They've got
but
them.
To like travel with
shop.
Us.
Oh well, no, you only got. It's only like a 3-hour trip.
Yeah, oh, I thought it was the same.
No. It was only you won't be very long. Otherwise, yes, you would. Okay. And as you're settling up to leave, Llewellyn comes out. He walks past Sir Caradoc. Walks past Dame Sophina. He lingers past Sir Quiggan, makes like he's maybe about to say something, but he just makes long, intense eye contact.
Sir Quiggan does not break said eye contact.
Oh, What a hard man.
Is he coming over soon? Is he flirting?
He's making his move.
Past Sir Quigan to Dame Fiona.
Hi.
He leans heavily on his spear, and he's looking up at you on your horse.
Yes.
So do you think you'll return again to our village anytime soon?
Well, it would be nice to have somewhere to spend the holy days. And they aren't honored, really, anywhere else. So perhaps I shall at the next holiday. Would you
of course.
Be here?
Well, yes, I've not yet a home, but soft is the grass, and my bed is always free.
And he turns, and he walks away.
Why couldn't you have said this two days ago?
Yeah, dude, that's Irish peasant talk right there.
That's some...
my bed is always free.
Irish boldness.
This is just because Brian wants one of us to have a baby so bad.
You've already got a baby. You fixed that.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Oh, I think I'll be making some visits.
Dame Fiona is referring to there. So, upon your return to the halls of Montacute, you have time with Lady Montacute, who is, for the first time that you've seen her, is no longer wearing black.
Yeah.
Out of mourning. Ah. Yeah,
she's wearing colors.
Finally
she's
out of mourning.
Ready to marry again.
Oh, there you go.
And it is getting much cooler as the winter approaches, and the fire in the hall is roaring. There are not many people in the hall that night, just a few locals, you know, some graduates of summer camp, etc., who were there. And she is sitting at the high table, and as you return, she stands wearily, nervously. It's clear that she's been anxious to learn of your return.
Did she miss you, Sir Quigan?
My lady, we have returned, and though we are quite, well... dirty from the road, we would very much like to speak with you with all urgency. Though if you wish us to wash, we can certainly do so.
No, please explain to me what happened? What happened with the child and the changeling and the man?
Is this a private room by any chance? Are there other people?
There's other people in the hall.
Great hall.
Everyone's listening. Mm. Well, not everyone. There's like 6-7 people.
Because this might be a private conversation we need to have, especially with pretending to have heirs and shit, you know?
Yeah. To leave that as an option, maybe Fiona needs to stay outside with the baby or something like that.
Yeah. Or leave the baby outside with the squire or
with both of them outside.
Yeah, we'll hobble the baby. And then
I can stay outside with the child until I have a sign that it's appropriate to come in and reveal that we have a baby with us.
And then maybe if the others can skedaddle while we have a
I would say it was uneventful, my lady. A misunderstanding of the highest sort. There will be no child killed, and there was no run-in with the fey folk whatsoever. As I said, a misunderstanding, and I'm glad it is behind us now. Please, enjoy yourself. All of you, enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. they go back to cleaning. she pours some drink, and she sits down, and she's like, well, I'm very glad. But wait, where is Dame Safina? Where is Dame Fiona? Dame Safina's right here before me, obviously. Where is the other lady?
We get confused for each other all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
She was killed on the road. It happens.
People only can distinguish us by looking at our arms.
Yes. And smelling us.
Yeah.
She did not feel that she was presentable for court, and I certainly understand. I felt the same way myself, but I felt it was urgent that we see you at once. And now if you wouldn't mind, we are all going to retire and get some rest, and then we can answer any questions you have directly.
Certainly. Okay.
And then he'll just walk up to her, mm-hmm. so that and speak quietly so that, you know, other people, according, assuming they've gone back to their business, he'll just step up to her quietly and say, "We need to speak with you urgently of private matters that I'm sure you would not want heard in front of the court. Fiona is outside as well. Whenever she's easy for you, my lady."
She rises and claps her hands, drawing the attention of the servants and the people in the hall. She says, "All of you, leave us now." And they begin to march out into the oncoming cold. Dame Fiona, you see the doors of the hall open and all these people scurry out, whispering to one another about what news must have come.
I will, like, turn away, like, with the baby so that they don't just see that I have a baby as they exit. Just to be like,
While you've been hanging out there with the baby, the baby's been making very intense eye contact.
"That is inappropriate, baby. I am of higher station than you."
I'm all meant that infant
lower
children.
Lower your gaze, peasant. I'm sorry.
My eyes are up here, baby.
You shall be on the ground for you when you address me. You peasant child, I am a knight.
From what I've been led to understand about infants, like really young babies, and Joe, maybe you can confirm or deny this, but like really young, like week old children generally don't make eye contact. They can't see. They can only see contrast. So it feels a bit weird. You won't know that. I'm just letting everyone know that, so that you can be like, "Stop looking at me. Lower your
gaze."
Does
it give me a strange, like, feeling or sense or something otherworldly? Is there, like...
No, what's your... Well, I don't know. Do you feel affection for it? I don't know.
It's giving me strong eye contact. Like,
yeah.
I mean...
You want to blindfold it, maybe. So.
It's pretty cute.
Yeah.
All right.
Babies are adorable.
Yeah. They have to be. Otherwise, we would just abandon them. It's an evolutionary thing.
Yeah.
Have you
Unless
developed
this one's filled with hay.
That, yeah. Have you been developing a bond with this baby over the course of our 3-hour journey?
I mean, maybe a little. He's cute.
Yeah, but something's off.
If it's making eye contact, yes.
It looks like a dude looking at you.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm picturing in my head is this like newborn is just like, "What's up?"
Yeah, like, with a tattoo.
We need to talk about something. You're like,
a tattooed newborn staring
at
you. Yeah.
There's something strange about this baby. I don't know. Maybe it is a changeling.
The hall is now empty, and Fiona, you've seen all the peasants leave, but the your fellow knights have not left the hall.
Right. I will enter with the baby. Mm-hmm. Then.
And Sir Cregan will close the doors behind. She'll walk back to the doors as Dame Fiona walks in. He will close the doors behind her and turn back to face the lady. "My lady, I'm afraid my first words were meant to deceive those of your hall, the servants and such. We need to be truthful with you. The baby is not a changeling, but it was left in a broken home. And had no hope to be raised in a
such
generous way."
"Well, what if he is a changeling?
What?
What if? I don't know. He's just strange. He's just looking at me all weird. And now I'm thinking about Drusilla. And what if we didn't really? I don't know. Look, it doesn't matter. We got this child out of a bad situation. But there's something strange about him."
"Can I take the baby from her? And look
if
at the baby,
lets,
and get a look at this.
It's a fucking baby.
It's just a baby.
It's just a baby. It's got a weird mark on its back.
But he is going to he's going to cradle the baby, and you know, a little bit awkward as that may be, he feels somewhat comfortable, and he'll start walking toward Lady Montacute, and explain the situation completely truthfully. About the mother and about Lord Edwallen just saying, like, "Great, take that baby out of here, blah, blah, blah," how we wanted it to have a better life. And then, "And I know, my lady, that perhaps it would be in the interest of your house to have an heir,
one that could inherit your name and wealth. And I'm curious if this is something that would interest you.
Well, I couldn't, in light of the Lord God, lie to the realm and to our boy king and to the Lord Robert about that. But I agree, this child does need...
You couldn't lie.
A mother figure. So I can raise the child as my ward, but I cannot raise it as my heir. Mm. That would be wrong.
What about...
Oh, of course. Did I say heir?
Yes.
I must be weary from the road. I meant ward. I meant ward.
Ward, yes, yes, ward, yeah. Yes, ward, yes, yes, ward.
Ward. Forgive me, Lady Montacute, but you won't lie about this, and that's fine. I don't like lying either, but you would lie about the giant that we killed a year ago.
Whoa.
Oh, record scratch.
Wow.
Oh, wow, I can't believe she went there.
Forgive me for my impertinence, but it just I wasn't expecting that.
Neither were we out of you, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm so honest. I thought I should just blurt things out sometimes.
Well,
unless you weren't lying, unless
we do not know that the Lady Montacute was lying, Dame Fiona. What is this speculation in open court?
You took the Saxon's word over mine. Is that it?
Well, I don't know.
I would never take the word of a Saxon over.
No, I spit on the floor.
Yeah.
I spit on everything.
I hear what
I spit on everything. I just start spitting everything. Oh,
stands.
You got it all over the baby.
She stands to address Dame Fiona.
Yes. I exercise empathy when hearing the story you told me about this child and that child's mother and all that child's mother said that she had to endure under her husband. And my husband did not treat me with the dignity and respect fitting my station. And I'll admit before you and before God that I did promise Egger Slick, that man. I promised him my hand, but it was for an exchange. He was supposed to secret me away to the north, away from Philbert. But the giant said he would be with no woman who still had ties to another man and slew Philbert and our entire household. That was not my intent. So you forgive me. Forgive me now as I ask God to forgive me every day. But you must believe that I did not have him murder my husband.
Forgive me, my lady, and I will go, like, down on, on a knee in front of her. Thank you for your honesty. I did not deserve it. And the impertinence of... My even bringing it up was unchivalrous and unbecoming of a knight. I'm sorry.
People will hear of your actions today, Lady Fiona.
Dame Fiona, understand. Please reduce your honor by one.
Oh, oh no!
Okay.
That is really yeah. I mean, more than any other game I've played, is that's really the GM.
That's brutal. That's like a critical hit. That's like
emotional damage.
Emotional damage.
She takes the baby, and says that she will raise this boy as her ward. The helps of her nurses, and he will come be a proud member of their halls and their society. And she thanks you all, mostly, for your time and honorable acts and thought in this event.
You are most wise, my lady. Thank you.
To the end of our story.
Woo!
The motherless son.
Wow. Nice. Hey, good story, Brian.
Yeah, everyone had a fun time. It wasn't me. Everyone was interacting
Juicy.
With it. Exactly.
Man. Right.
And I had to quickly scroll up to like 12 pages of notes ago to find out what Lady Montacute's reasonings were, because no one asked her at the time. Okay.
Well, that's why I was like, we should ask her now. And look what happened. So I got punished for it.
Yeah, exactly. No one would be so far. Are we excited to then wrap up this story and go into the winter phase?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get started and we'll go for a break in a little bit, but let's get underway. So first of all,
Also, before we depart the story, I just want to say real quick that as part of the whole summary, I did clarify to the Lady Montacute that Lord Edwallon fully expects this baby to 15 years, all that stuff. Yeah. So if she wants to go tell him to go screw, she has the power to do that. I didn't.
That's totally up to her, yeah.
So he let her know.
Agreement, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I agreed to it immediately because I was like, we've got 15 years to find a way out of this one.
So I did have it in here that you were all going to have to tick your deceitful box for lying to Lord Edwallon and co about the baby, but that's not actually what you ended up doing. You sort of just started explaining the situation.
Yeah.
So what I'll instead do is just everyone please, given the fact that you're dealing with a child and a woman whose actions at that time were not really defensible, but you exercised empathy in doing so, you can all tick your merciful box if you don't already have it ticked.
Yeah, it's already.
Well, you know what? Maybe I don't check that box because it was specifically like I rolled cruel on that situation and that's what I was telling her about, all that stuff. I went with the group because I was, way outvoted, but I don't really think he chose the merciful path there.
That's totally fair then.
Yeah.
So all of you will gain 250 glory for completing this adventure.
Nice.
Now, and I believe it didn't come up at the time because I forgot, but I believe was it Sir Caradoc last week you got a critical success on awareness? Was that you? Someone got a critical success on something in the forest.
I crit on something last.
I feel like it was
Sir Caradoc. But I don't remember what it was. So it may
Who
not
heard the singing
that.
Initially? Who heard the singing?
That was me.
That was you. So you got the crit?
Well, Dame Safina heard it in her sleep, right?
Yeah, but
she's the only one.
No, I heard it in my sleep, but I didn't know what it was. And then,
I feel bad. And then
Quiggin heard it and knew, like, in the forest.
I think
but
I crit. I definitely crit.
It on.
I definitely
crit.
I
don't think I crit on that. Crit last,
I did.
Last week. Someone definitely did. Okay, so Quiggin, that's another fun thing about glory awards, which are in the Pendragon Game Master Handbook. A critical success will award you with an amount of glory equal to your appeal. What's your APP?
Oh, 13. That's
13.
Fun.
So you get 13 glory.
Nice.
For doing that.
I do think I crit on something last week. I just don't remember
just
what it was.
Passive glory from the appeal glory. And it's usually up to me, but a critical success always usually gets it to you. And then things like in the last story with Dame Safina succeeding doing a regular success on a first aid roll to bring someone back also gets glory and such. All right, but without further ado, let's get into the winter phase.
And is this 509 AD? Where are we?
What were we?
510. I think it was 509, the last one?
509, yes.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, the last time we did this was 508. I think this is currently 509.
It's currently 509.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yes. So this will be winter phase 509. So cool.
Yes. So we're going into 510, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is the first year of the Boy King period.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So this is the year that Arthur pulls the sword from the stone, right?
Yes. Although some of us have referenced that already in our story, but that's okay. Everything's a bit weird. Maybe everyone's sort of prescient. That's all right. But yes. Exactly. I think she also just mentioned our Boy King. Looks directly at camera. When she said that. Spoilers. All right. So, first of all,
I thought she was talking about Robert.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a good point. He's not really a king, but yeah. Our first step, obviously, solo scenario. So, if somebody had missed it, there would be a way to get somebody up to speed on the campaign by doing a solo scenario. But we were all here, so we don't need to do that. Yeah. So, personal events. Who wants to go first? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. Can you please roll a D20 for me?
D20.
Personal events.
Personal events.
Thanks.
What's happened? Something random.
My favorite number, 6.
6? Why is it your favorite number?
Because a huge Prisoner fan.
Oh. I know what that is.
Not Prisoner, not people in jail, but the show The Prisoner.
Really into yeah. prisoners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love people are deprived of their liberty.
Yeah.
Man, it just gets me worked up.
I love prisoners.
So good.
Just, yeah. Conceptually. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Can you now? So you've rolled just. So it's an event surrounding your just. Okay. Can you now roll against your just?
Rolling against my just. 4 under 9.
So you pass? You pass, right? You pass your just roll? Yeah. Yep. So first of all, can you check your just if you haven't already?
Okay.
So there was a time in the past year after the event with the baby where you are called upon to help somebody lay down justice or something. So there was clearly some sort of crime. What crime? Let's open this to the group. What crime do we think might have happened in Montacute? Yeah, given the fact that, you know, it's only a small thing. What's something we think could have happened that would have called Sir Caradoc's attention? Perhaps one of the peasants.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. not a crime yet.
Yeah.
Not a crime yet. Don't get ahead of yourself. Not a crime yet.
Stolen sheep.
That's a great one. So there's two farmers, one of whom claims the other one stole his sheep. And they come to you, these two guys, Braddock and Diego. Braddock says, "He stole 4 of my sheep. Just look out at the field. You can see them there, right there. He stole the sheep." And Diego says, I didn't steal his sheep. All of the sheep look the same. He's lost 4 sheep. And they've come to you, Sir Caradoc, as the nearest knight. It's just on the side of the road, and you can see the fields.
So it's two sheep?
4 sheep.
4 sheep, okay.
And Braddock claims Diego stole from him.
All right. Well, in justice name, I decree that the 4 sheep shall be cut in half, and each half given to one of the people who are arguing over the sheep. And then justice shall be done.
Diego, the one who is accused of stealing the sheep, who says that old mate's just lost his sheep, holds out leans forward slightly, presents his palm that has a couple of silver coins in it. Not very much money at all. And he says, Are you sure about that, sir?
Oh, okay.
He's trying to bribe you.
But of course you passed your just roll. So you would refuse a bribe as such.
I would.
Also a pittance.
I would.
But so Skid might not. Okay. You can really see the hesitation.
Yeah, he was thinking about
Skid loves money.
Like
a dollar.
Bribery. I just love getting bribes.
Prisoners.
How does that sync
bribery.
Up with your prisoner yeah. obsession?
It's like maybe that's why he's in the village. I think that so my plan is just like I'm as a man of God. I'm trying to I'm trying to emulate Solomon, and my plan is this: whoever really owns the sheep will say, "Oh no, please let the other guy have the sheep."
That's not what happened.
That didn't work.
Said, "Are you sure about that? You want?"
I don't think anyone
instead.
Tried to bribe Solomon.
No,
there was also like a human baby, which people do tend to value differently than sheep.
Oh,
sheep.
Okay, I have a solution.
Well, sheep were expensive though back then. That was like a big
deal. This is a big deal. So he says. So I reach out and I take the money, and I like give him a wink, and then I hold it up, and I say, "Now a second crime has been committed, the crime of bribery. I award this sum to the one who has been wronged. I deem," and I hand it to the other guy. They say, "You may take the money and the sheep. And you, sir, I hope that God will show forgiveness upon you. For otherwise, you will burn in hell forever. Thank you. Good night."
Amazing.
Do you want to hang him real quick?
Yeah,
no,
because I'm real quick.
No, no, no. So it's like, I hope God will forgive you. I do. But I'm very forgiving. But
forgiving, it says here on my sheet.
It's very
sheet. Yeah, so don't do it again.
Yes. Okay. And the guy who like netted 4 sheep and some coin is obviously stoked, and Diego is not. Dame Safina, could you please roll a d20?
Okie dokie.
I love this. This is amazing. Because, yeah. Like, you know Holland, he's going to have that guy come back and stab you while you're sleeping. This is great. This is great.
Making notes.
He's
going to
be a hot Irishman.
And then he's going to attack you. Remember me. Those are my sheep.
Guts him. I rolled a 19.
That's quite a high number. Let me consult my copy of the Pendragon Core rulebook. Would you like... first of all, do you have a famous passion? A passion that is above 15?
Yeah, it's my... Well, say I have devotion? Homage to my lord is at an 18. My love for family is at a 16. Devotion's at a 16.
Wow.
So, yeah, what you thinking? Holland? Well,
would you say your devotion is it a 16?
Because you were like super religious, right?
And your homage was it as well?
Homage, whatever. That's an 18. Okay. That's the highest one.
Well, okay. Well, let's do that one then. So we are going to test your famous. Hold on. Does it say trait or no? It has to be a passion. Okay. Let's test your famous passion. Can you roll against that passion now?
Okay.
Which is 18, you said?
Yes.
Hard to fail.
Very hard.
It's hard to fail.
Unless you fumble.
I rolled a 5.
Rolled a 5, okay. So can you check that passion?
If it's already checked.
Ah, that's okay.
Okay.
So what is something that you've done in this past year where either the Lady Montacute or the child, so he's not really, he's like 14 now, the child Lord Robert would have, where you would have shown loyalty to them.
Mm.
What do you think you might have been?
Maybe somebody in the court is trying to spread nasty rumors and I squash it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and which do you think it would be, about Lord Robert or about Lady Montacute?
It might have to be Lady Montacute dealing with the baby.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. So you are coming out of church, and you hear a man and a woman talking with each other. And what draws your attention is that they, first of all, they don't say the Lady Montacute. They say that widow who runs the town. That catches your attention.
That widow who runs the town?
I heard that ward baby she's looking after is actually just something else to do with that giant that she had killed. Her.
And the other woman says, oh, no, yes, I'm assuming that's what I really can't wait until the good Lord strikes her down for all her injustices.
And are these, like, peasants, or are these, like, people in the court, or are they just whatever?
Well, there's a mix. They're sort of, like, halfway between them, right? You know, so they are landowners.
Oh, middle class?
Yeah.
I do a very, like, very deliberate, very bitchy walk towards these two.
I can picture
it. It's like, if they're standing, you see me just cut, like, right, just boom, right in the center, and just... And stare him down, and excuse
Dame,
myself.
Dame Fiona, good morrow.
Good morrow, is it? Are you gossiping after church?
No, of course not.
Is that very Christian of you?
We were just merely speaking about the future and how the future might unfold.
And now add a lying onto that.
Ooh, just sin on top of sin.
Sins on top of sins. You know who wouldn't like to hear any of this?
Jesus.
Jesus.
But you know too how bad he hears would be everything.
He's so mad right now.
Forgive us. Forgive us, Dame Fiona. We're not ourselves. We've been very stressed.
I do hope that is the reason, and I do hope that this offense will not be uttered again.
Of course not. No. And it's... You don't have to mention this to Lady Montacute, I'm sure.
What Christian would I be if I didn't tell her that there were people slandering her good name? After church, no less.
We will pray for the Lord's forgiveness.
Oh, you'd better.
And they scurry away. At the next feast that happens during her address to the court, lately shuts up her cat.
Said it also has opinions.
Yeah. Lady Montacute does publicly praise Dame Safina's loyalty.
Yeah.
So you may gain glory equal to your appeal.
Nice.
Yes, which is a 16.
Nice. Quite high.
That was glory.
That was glory.
Okay.
Let us take a quick break.
Ooh.
And then we'll be back with more Winter Phase for Pendragon here in the Glass Cannon Network.
Yeah.
And touch the dial. Yeah.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes. Those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Welcome back to Pendragon Under an Iron Sky here on the Glass Cannon Network. And look, if you're only watching this on YouTube, you're only getting half the experience, because I'm told that if you go to jointhenation.com, you can subscribe and get access to the official audio podcast version of
this. That's absolutely right, yeah. So, if you want an audio-only version of this, you can absolutely get it through our subscription service. So yeah, go to jointhenation.com, sign up there. You can get a 30-day free trial with code GCN30. Check it out. There's a million shows to listen to, but all episodes of Pendragon, and they're on its own feed. You can get it directly on your smart device if you're a premium subscriber. So pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
And you can follow along at home for things like the winter phase to see what I'm making up versus, you know, what I'm fudging, et cetera, which I'm not. But, you know, for those of you who'd
never,
like to
leave a
comment saying that I got some rules wrong, which I have. I know I've got rules wrong. It's okay. All God's children. It's all right. You can get a copy of the Pendragon Core Rulebook or the Pendragon Starter Set. And if I had a copy of the Pendragon GM book with me right now, we would all hold it up and say you could get that too. And you can get it on chaosium.com using the code PENCANON2. That's PENCANON with the number 2 at the end, and get yourself 15% off. And if you want any RuneQuest stuff while you're at it, go ahead and add that to your cart and enjoy the discount there too. Anyway, we are back to our Pendragon Winter phase between our current story, the motherless son, and whatever is coming next, by the way.
Something I hope that will resolve this tattoo situation.
All right, well, there's really no way of knowing, unfortunately. So, Dame Fiona, I think we're up to Dame Fiona, right? Could you please roll a d20 for your personal event? Last year, you were in an archery competition, if you remember.
And managed to do well somehow, I think. It's been a year already.
Time.
How time flies. 11.
An 11.
Mm-hmm.
Your temperance will be tested. Are you very temperate?
I think, no. Well, it's not terribly imbalanced, but I am slightly more indulgent than temperate.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be very interesting. Could you please make a roll?
Against my temperate.
Against your temperate.
Oh, boy. That actually succeeded. 8 under 9.
Oh, well done. Okay, so please check your temperate box.
It's not very pagan of me, I feel like.
Okay, so we're just going to have a little montage here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Yule time.
Yes.
It's Yule time. No, not Yule time yet. You're just hanging out.
Samhain, perhaps? Would we celebrate?
Well, you would. You're off in the corner by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just wait. One day you're going to love this holiday. You're going to get free candy from people.
Yeah. You're threatened to come into the house unless they bribe you with candy. Yeah.
Yeah. Trick or treat.
Your choice, motherfucker. as an aside, we don't really have Halloween here, but as growing up as a kid, obviously we got all the American television. Mm-hmm. All we wanted was for Halloween to be an actual thing.
Yeah.
But it's actually been picking up steam in the last 5 years. And last year, all up and down our street were like people with their kids, like walking, like going house to house.
Trick or treating.
And you had to put like, because to let people know that you're actually on board with doing this, so you just knock on someone's door and be like, what are you talking about? Like, they're putting out little jack-o'-lanterns at the front to let you know, like, you come knocking out the door.
Aww.
And my wife, Rach, and I were like, holy shit, this is so cool, because there were so many of them around, because we're not that far from, like, the local, you would call it elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they do, like, a thing, and then they walk the streets and do trick-or-treating. So we are going to, this year, because we live in an apartment building, so we're just going to go to the bottom of our apartment building and stand there dressed up and give stuff out. And we're
going to, like, awesome. Love it. It's happening!
So but she's going to dress up as Rey, and I'm going to dress as Kylo Ren, because I got the obnoxiously expensive Kylo Ren lightsaber from Disney last year. So, what a chance
to use it. You need the outfit to match it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get one of the helmets that modulates my voice and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Sweet. That's
so cool.
Anyway, you are doing that.
Quick question. Yeah? What do you call an elementary school?
Primary school.
Oh, primary school.
Yeah.
That's not that crazy.
Dog fight and hut. So they go and they fight dogs against each other. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
Oh, that is unusual. That's very different.
I suppose you would call it an elementary school. You know, we do things a little differently down here. No, I went to elementary. Here's some more Brian lore for you. I went to elementary school in Boston for a little while. There you go.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. I think you mentioned that.
Oh, you did.
The other day.
Did I? I mentioned that I have family in Boston. I never told you I went to school there. There you go.
Oh, well, you mentioned Boston. That's what I remember.
I threw up in the cafeteria.
It happens to the best of us.
And then you got you out of the country?
Expelled from the country.
And they were like, that weird foreign kid.
Yeah,
that weird guy.
Apparently, because I was in Boston for like nearly a year when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously don't remember this, but apparently I came back to Australia with a full-blown, like, Boston accent.
I bet you did,
which is very funny. Anyway. Wow. All right, so it is Samhain. Sorry, we're going to do a little montage.
Yes.
It's Samhain, what do you prepare for Samhain? You do a little ritual, a little acknowledgement that this is the time of the year when the veil between our world and that of the dead is at its thinnest.
Yes.
And you leave an egg. You get an egg, a precious egg. You leave it by your front
door.
Don't
remember all the things. Yeah.
I'm just letting you know. But I'm just, you put an egg next to the front door of your home so that any spirits that try to come into your house are actually drawn into the egg as well. Then you take the egg out and you bury it in the woods. Mm-hmm. But then you notice you have some eggs left over.
mm-hmm.
and you think about maybe you could have like a nice omelet.
I could.
You don't, do you?
No.
So temperate.
That would be
what a weird scene.
Too indulgent. I will save these, and perhaps some others here in the village might be hungry, and I could give them an egg instead. That would be temperate.
Far more temperate. Flash forward a couple of months. There's no Thanksgiving yet. Also, there won't ever be a Thanksgiving.
And there won't ever be here.
That's all right.
One day we'll have bonfire night, but
yeah. Skip over that.
There's nothing
Yule
to be
time.
Thankful for yet.
Yule time, big celebration at the halls of Montacute for Yule time.
Mm-hmm.
Many neighboring places come over here. Llewellyn's there. One point, he's had a few drinks. He comes over, gives you one of these. What's up?
Hello, Llewellyn. How are you?
Do you even talk to him? How temperate are you?
I think I would talk to him, but I wouldn't have a drink or anything, and I wouldn't. Obviously, I'm not being indulgent, so I won't. If he
would
makes
you like
any,
to have a drink with me.
I would. I would like to, but I'm afraid I cannot. That would be rather too indulgent, I think. Oh. But thank you for the offer. Sometimes we must deny ourselves the things that we want as a lesson in bettering ourselves. So right now I'm on this like eat, pray, love kick where anything I would love to do, I'm telling myself, no, don't. So.
All right. That sounds very Christian of you. But you
enjoy well, don't say that.
All right. Where's Dame Safina?
wow.
Girl, I would never. Just
thank you. Because he is
Flash
hot.
Flash forward a little bit. In the wintertime, you've taken ill. You've got the common cold.
Right. It might kill me.
Yeah. You're in bed. And the priest, the local Medicaid, brings you some gruel and also this sort of pasty stuff that you're supposed to mix with your water that he says will knock you out cold and you'll sleep through everything, which would be great. He said it is very expensive and there's not very much of it.
Only. Thank you. You may keep the pasty stuff. I will suffer through. It is building character. But I will take the gruel, thank you. I'm not a fool. I do need to eat.
And build character it does, as you lived a life of temperance. Not too much, not too little. Well done.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, Llewellyn!
Wow, I can't believe... Wow. I can't believe you didn't have a drink with the guy. Jeez.
He came all the way from the forest.
He even tries.
That was a veritable temperate tantrum.
Yeah, temperate.
Nice.
Well, I don't like that he just immediately went to Dame Safina. Like, what?
That's a joke. He was joking.
Red flag, right? Was he joking?
There are so many red flags about this guy before this.
Okay. Okay. According to
he's like,
you,
he tried to kill me.
According to you,
he's trying to kill me. He's Irish.
I don't know.
Him and his brother robbed us on the road.
Yeah. They were poor.
They went successful.
Fiona, you can do better. All right.
Sir Quegan. Now, we owe you a good one because last week, last time we did your winter phase, you were the first one and we sort of skipped over it. We didn't really do a proper scene. I felt bad about it. I can't remember if I brought that up on mic or not. But
I was just fine with that. Please.
That's good. Yeah, you bought some clothes. Can you roll a d20?
Oh, that's right. I got fancy clothes. All right, d20 coming in. That is a 5.
A 5. All right. Would you like to... you get to choose. Honest or deceitful? Which would you like to have tested?
Ooh.
Which will make for better programming?
And I'm right down the line. I'm going to test deceitful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you roll against your deceitful then, please?
Sure. Critical success.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, critical success.
Selfish, cruel liar.
All right, so you have to make, when you make a critical, you have to make an immediate experience roll for it.
Oh, so it's an experience roll.
Yeah, you roll to see if it gets better immediately.
So, oh. See, now you want to roll higher, right? Yeah. Now you want to roll higher.
17.
Okay, so it goes up by one, and your honesty goes down.
Honesty going down.
And in addition, you have to check the box. So in a moment, in step three, you're going to check to see if it goes up again.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're 11.9 now, are you?
I'm 11.9 now. And I have honest checked from the last story.
Interesting.
Okay. So, this is very funny. God, so I just read the description of what happens when you get the critical here. who would you say... Lord Idwalin. Remember you met Lord Idwalin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Would you say that Sir Quigan, saw eye to eye with that guy? Do you reckon you guys would, have a beer? Do you reckon you'd hang out?
No, he's a lunatic.
Go to a book?
He's certifiable.
Sir Quigan can't really see eye to eye with any adult.
Oh!
Boom! That was a short king joke.
Get some aloe for that bird.
there comes a small dispute over a section of land outside of Modron's Forest, which is not at all part of Lady Montacute's area. It's another petty lord who, you don't really know. But there's a dispute between Lord Idwalin and this other petty lord that Lord Idwalin actually has rights to that land and not this other guy. And you are called in as an impartial observer. And could you just give us a snippet of the false testimony that you choose to give, which proves that the land is actually not Idwalin's, but it belongs to this other guy?
Oh my god. Oh god. What false testimony does he give?
Well, I'll give you a clue. You actually find a way to argue that it should be part of Lady Montague's land.
Mm.
Oh, nice.
You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I think this is fun. Wait. Am I literate? No, I'm not literate.
I think only Skid is.
Because you could, forge some...
I was going to forge,
some Crusader King shit.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. He is going to forge, but he is going to, pull in an accomplice.
Yes.
So, he's going to get a
monk.
a monk.
Yeah, a monk.
Yeah, local monk.
Basically, he's going to get somebody in Lord Robert's court that handles these things. He's going to...
his name is Melion, this guy.
Melion.
The dodgy Melion. Monk. M-A-L-I-O-N.
Dodgy monk.
Melion.
Yeah.
So he's going to meet with him and say, our lady Gwynhild has an opportunity here to rather benefit from a... dispute is happening.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
The Lord, what's his face? Forget names the second I begin speaking.
Idwalin?
Oh, Idwalin. Hey, the pagan
fool. I kept hearing Eggert in my head.
Pagan fool from
the Lord
south.
Idwalin is trying to claim lands that are rightfully Lady Gwynhild's.
Spit on him and all his people and everything they believe.
Certainly this land would be better held by a Christian ruler, don't you believe?
Of course. Same goes for all of the land across all of God's green earth.
Now, the proper paperwork which would show that this land was to pass to Lady Gwynhild's house in the event of its owner's demise has sadly been lost in a fire. And I was hoping you could recreate the already existing document.
Yes, of course. Are you aware of the trickery of the devil, Sir Quigan?
How do you mean?
Well, we must always be aware of it, even me. So before we enter in such agreement, I assume you take no offense, but I must do a test to make sure that you are no demon sent here to tempt me as a brother of Barth.
Oh, no. Of course. Any test you like.
Of course. It's really quite simple. He lifts up a quill. Could you take this quill for me with your preferred hand real quick?
Oh,
good thing I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
reaches out with his right hand.
Oh, good. Excellent. He takes the quill.
Of
course, I am no spawn of Satan, left-handed. Okay.
Flash forward to the presentation before Lord Robert, where Lord Edwalin is there.
And so, my Lord Robert, upon extensive research into the holdings of this particular land, I was able to find a document. Yes, hidden deep within the vaults of your own archives, my lord. There is, in fact, an already existing claim to this land that would pass to Lord Filbert and thus the Lady Gwynhild. I'm so sorry, my lords. And he looks at the two Lord of them and he's like, actually, this land belongs to Lady Gwynhild.
Oh, okay. And Lord Robert snaps his fingers and has somebody take the document from you and bring it to him. It is, in fact, Brother Melian. And Lord Robert says, could you just read that to me? Read that to me, please.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because
Lord Melian says, and he reads it aloud and he explains it in a second. And actually, I think you'll note here, sir, that a knight of his lord's choosing will actually undertake the land holding himself. So perhaps in exchange for bringing this to your attention, I would suggest Sir Quiggin.
Are you going to get land?
Oh, my lord. And Lord Robert goes,
yeah, that sounds good, right? That's what God would want. Oh, yes, quite. Oh, yeah. All right. God, yeah, that's it all. And Lord Edwalin's fucking furious.
I was merely doing my duty.
Let me just read out what the summary was.
Holy crap.
You give false testimony against one of your rivals over a land dispute. You gain the disputed 1 pound land holding permanently.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
But you start a family feud.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, no. Yeah. Gonna get kissed by Richard Dawson.
Wow. Right. So I have land now?
You've got 1 pound of land. That's quite a lot.
Incredible.
You know?
Wow.
Nice.
This land is almost as worth as much as my clothes.
Yeah. Well, actually, now remember, your clothes halve in value every year, so it's now exactly.
Oh, right.
Oh, damn it.
These threadbare,
filthy 1 pound rags that you've got going on.
Wow. This is awesome.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
I told you, everyone who was like the winter phase, I'm tuning out. Fools.
No, this is great.
Fools, all of you.
Exactly. Yes. And now we know Brother Melian is a guy. Like, you know, we love
we're getting narrative. All kinds of NPCs.
All right, let me just...
I'm really torn about Llewellyn, like...
The guy really put himself out there, you know? All his buddies are probably gassing him up. Like, go for it, man. I reckon Yule, man. I reckon she'll be down for Yule, man. Like, everyone's like, nah, not today. All right, step three, experience rolls. Now we know how this works. You've got checks on your character sheet. Go through and you're going to roll and you're going to try and roll higher than whatever the current value is.
Okay.
And if you do, you increase that by 20. Remember, if it's a trait like modest or deceitful, one goes up, the other goes down. And I'll ask everybody just to pick a couple that they're particularly excited about, maybe highlighting. So maybe we could start with you, Sir Quiggin, because you did just get that deceitful thing. I think we all want to know if your deceitful is going to go up again, because you've also got the honesty
let's
to roll against.
See, it just
and
went
remember
up.
When you've got... When you've got both ticked, you as the player get to choose which one you resolve first.
Okay. All right, great. You know what? I mean, if he's going to be a bastard, we might as well keep making him a bastard. So I will roll. It's better if you want the higher number to go higher, it's better to roll that one first, right? I would think.
But then you're going to make the second one lower and it's going to be easier to
right.
make the
I
second one
decide.
And then it'll go back.
So which one's better? The one that you want to increase, which one would you roll first? I can't.
Depends on,
like, my brain
on the
is
number
like,
that they're at. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm just going to do deceitful though, right? first. Let's just do deceitful first. Here we go. Failed it again. Natural 18.
Okay. So your deceitful goes up again. But now so it's also easier again. For your honesty to go up because you've got a lower number.
Right. So I think we'll come
so
back
might just
here.
Stay the same. So we'll find out.
On honesty. Another natural 18 back to back. So it goes back.
Stays neutral.
So it just stays the same, but it did go up one from last year. So it's the 11 and 9. Good. So yeah. And then the only other, well, I'll let somebody else go.
Yeah. Dame Safina, did you have one that you were excited about rolling for?
Yeah. Honest and deceitful. My honest is at an 11 and deceitful is at a 9. And I have deceitful checked off.
Ooh, oh, okay. So let's roll your deceitful. Let's see if you get back to being neutral.
Let's see if I can roll under 9. Let's see.
Over 9. You want to roll over?
Over 9. Well, yeah. Over 9. And I rolled a 1.
Okay. No, you, it does not increase. What about you, Dame Fiona? Do you have one? We'll go around.
Well, I think we should find out if my eat, pray, love was a lasting. Did it stick, or did I actually swing back the other way?
Okay.
So I have temperate checked. So let's see. It'll probably go up because it's only a 9. But I might roll under it. Let's find out. Oh, yeah, I rolled an 18, so I am now 10 and 10. I'm trying to decide, like...
you know? Yes.
Yeah.
Evened out. So, Caradoc, do you have any exciting ones that were checked?
Not really. I will do Merciful. I checked the Merciful box. Yeah. So, we'll see. This is going to be a difficult one to alter.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's at 16. I rolled a 2.
Oh, okay. What about, do you have a skill, Sir Caradoc? Do you have a skill check? Didn't you do this roll?
Yeah. Oh, I think yes.
You helped someone write that love poem at the feast.
I did. All right, I'll do that. Nope.
Oh, okay. Nope. Sucked in.
I have intrigue checked.
Oh yeah, that would be from maybe something at the feast, or there was definitely an intrigue roll at some point.
Come on, it's only a 5. Surely I'll get better at it. Oh yeah, I now got a 6 in intrigue.
Nice.
So Quigan, you had another one you wanted to highlight.
Yeah, actually this is wild. So most of them I rolled under, but then I rolled a 13 over 12 for spiritual. So my spiritual went up to 13. My worldly went down, which is kind
of
odd.
Not very devout though, right? So you're one of these guys that's like, you know, like, oh, maybe there's something, maybe like I'm not religious, but I am spiritual.
Yeah, he's spiritual, but he's not devout. Yeah. And then I rolled, and this really surprised me. Wasn't expecting it, but I'm still looking at it. I rolled a natty 15 over my 14 valorous.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And that went up to 15. That's kind of fun.
Wow. That's,
so now, awesome. Finally, I have a decent stat that is as high as my selfishness. Valorous. But here's the one I really want to roll. That I'm excited to roll live, which is cruel.
Selfish, cruel.
It's the cruel versus merciful, which, so he had that check.
Currently?
12. 12 to 8. So let's see if he rolls over his 12 cruel. 11. So he does not get more cruel.
He does not get more cruel. No.
All right, good. Good.
He loved it. He loved being cruel.
Yeah. And then I'm going to roll horsemanship, and I succeeded. Mm. Courtesy, and I succeeded.
Nice.
And last one for me, awareness.
Oh, no, I guess not nice.
And I failed. So that went up to an 8.
That was your awareness. Okay.
Awareness was just a 7, but it went up to an 8.
You succeed as in rolling under it.
Yeah.
All right, so everyone's done their experience rolls?
I am done.
Anything
of note?
For
the skills, remind me again if you succeed and roll under it.
Nothing happens. Just, you want to roll
nothing
over.
Happens. Yeah, you over, roll. And then it just increases by 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Indeed.
Awesome.
Clothing now... gets worse, but luckily you're all household knights, so someone is paying for standard clothing for you. Otherwise,
isn't Sir Quigan technically a vassal knight now since he has his own land?
Yeah, that's right. You are a vassal knight.
Hollow it out, Brian. Let's be clear on this. Vassal knight, Sir Quigan.
You are vassal knights. You typically gain some amount of money from your lands, spending 6. But you have to spend 6 pounds. So basically, you leave. You once all is said and done. You get an extra 1 pound at the end of the year, which makes sense. Because you have to earn stuff. You pay maintenance, squire family, et cetera, et cetera.
Taxes.
Yep.
Guess what, you guys?
What?
What?
I no longer have a -2 to my horse survival rolls because it's been a year.
Oh.
Yay!
Okay. Good. All right. Awesome.
I'll take that off my equestrian notes.
Yeah.
Bojack isn't giving me.
Wait, why do you no longer have a -2?
Because it's for a year, right? Has it been a year gone by?
No, but you've got to. That came up last year's horse survival, right? So you've got to do it for this. You've got to add that to this coming role, the one we're about to do.
The bat. Okay, got away. It.
Oh,
okay,
no.
We're not there yet. All right,
yeah,
I
you
hope
get
so.
The negative.
Okay.
I've just got to find where the horse care table 10-6 for horse care, because we're at everyone's favorite part of the winter phase, checking to see how the horses fare over the course of the year.
I'm nervous Smitty, about it.
Can we check in with our horses and their personalities?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Bojack went to the Betty Ford Clinic.
So all right.
Let's start with Dame Fiona. What's the name of your horse and what's their personality?
Argent is gentle and good with timid and young riders.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it? Let's see if you've looked after him. Can you make a horsemanship roll, please?
Do I want to roll under my horsemanship one?
You want to succeed. Which is roll equal to or under?
Well, my horseman is a 10, and I rolled a 19, so it's not a fumble.
Wasn't a fumble, no. But
it's not good.
Unfortunately, Argent is both weak and sore.
No, Argent.
So you'll have to make sure that a farrier tends to the horse.
Okay.
Which you can have done, but you're at -1 to your horse survival roll. Which you will do right now.
Oh no.
Just roll a d20 and take one off it.
Okay, and take one off of it?
Uh-huh.
So make it lower, then I roll or higher. Okay.
She's so worried.
Oh, did you roll?
Well, sometimes you want it to be lower and sometimes you want it to be higher. So I rolled a 10, so -1 is a 9.
That's okay. The horse is healthy. It's sore. If he's a bit sore.
Okay.
All right. We just worked really hard. I'm so sorry, Argent.
Sakaradoc.
Be more temperate with my riding
exactly
of you in
right.
future.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
I won't be so indulgent in the saddle.
So indulgent with
Sakaradoc.
That's probably
your
what kicked off
Wyvern.
My whole thing.
Wyvern?
Wyvern.
Yeah, and he was. Is he the Fae Touched one?
Fae Touched.
Yeah.
Yes.
Otherworldly quality. And did you look after them? Let's find out. Roll your horsemanship.
13 over 10.
Okay, so you fail. So Wyvern is
our poor
is
horses.
Weak, and you'll be at -1 to your horse survival roll. And you make your horse survival roll now.
Oh,
just d20 -1. It's all right.
Panic.
I dropped 5 dice then. But that's okay.
2.
What'd you roll?
2. 2. With the -1?
With the -1.
Oh, okay. Roll your horsemanship again.
Oh, man.
Fuck me. 18 over 10.
Okay. Your horse is weakened, but you failed the roll, so you got to double all of these penalties. Right? So rather than -2 movement rate, you're at -4 movement rate.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And can you roll a d6, please?
Oh, my gosh.
1.
Oh, okay. So, -2 total hit points.
Oh,
okay. So that was the best you could have rolled in that scenario, right?
That was. And can you also roll a... sorry, not roll, but make a note on your equestrian notes that next year you're at -2 to your horse survival roll.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, buddy.
It's awful. This bad boy.
I'm sorry, Wyvern.
So, Dame Safina, so you are at -2, correct? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Bojack can't die, dude.
Anyway, but
Bojack
first of all, do your regular horse care roll. So a horsemanship roll first.
Okay, so horsemanship is a 10.
Okay.
Come on. You could do this.
Roll the 1.
Yay!
Roll the 1.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Success. So Bojack carries on as normal, which for him is quite unique.
Which still, okay.
But you still have to make your horse survival roll. With your negative from last year, which was -2.
2. Okay, so...
roll a
survival.
Just roll a d20, and it's -2.
Okay, and then it's -2.
Yep.
15 -2, 13.
Okay. Luckily, Bojack is healthy, and you can get rid of that.
For him.
For
him.
Yeah, healthy for whatever he is. And you can remove that...
yeah,
oh, -2
is
check,
gone.
Because you got this from... No, I think that -1 to the subsequent horse survival rolls that you got last time, I think that's cumulative. So, because the horse is going to get... So that's just always -1 unless it gets worse. So it's same for you, Skid.
So it's just a -1?
No, it'll be whatever the minus was. It's -2.
Minus so stays at -2 always?
Yeah.
So unless stays it gets at -2. Worse. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, continuity is still for him is okay.
Is exactly.
That's a win. That's a win for Bojack.
Yeah.
And Sequegan, Smitty, the horse Smitty.
Yes, Smitty is resilient and recovers quickly after hard work, so
right.
He's going to be fine.
Make your horsemanship roll for horse care.
Oh, 13 over 10.
You fail as well?
Boy.
Wow. I just would like to point out at home that clearly nobody thought to put points into horsemanship.
Horsemanship is one of my best stats. I am bad at everything.
Right. all right, so what's Smitty? Smitty is sore. He's very sore. You'll get minus one to your horse survival roll.
Okay, horse survival.
So can you please make your horse survival roll now?
Yep. 14.
That's okay. He's healthy. You're,
my man.
Check this for horsemanship for this role, or is it only in game?
You do, but you won't check it until next. We only passed it. Yeah, you won't check it until next week.
Okay, cool.
So now at training and practice, so you can advance your character's capabilities during the winter phase regardless of the past year's experience. You can select one of the following improvements. You can either 1, change your personality trait. You can 2, change your passion. 3, change your characteristic. 4, train any of your skills up to 15. Or 5, train 1 skill up to 20. That means if you've got a skill that is 15 or over, you can increase it by 1 point. Whereas if you train skills up to 15, you can add 6 points to any of your skills that are don't go over 15, obviously. And if you change a personality trait, you can add 1 point to a trait, decreasing the opposite trait by 1. And changing a passion is just you can add or subtract 1 point from a passion. And characteristics we went over last week, you just increase one of your characteristics, but the only way to increase your size is to get that. So Caradoc, what are you thinking you might choose?
I think I'm going to learn to read.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What is your literacy?
It's at 0.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm going to just put 5 points in literacy.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I'd say, well, you've got 6 points if you're training skills up to 15. You've got 6.
Okay.
You don't have to put them all in there if you want. You can put another point somewhere else. You just can't put them into anything that is currently 15.
I'll put 5 points in literacy and 1 point into orate.
Cool.
Bring it up to 10.
Okay, well done.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Dame Fiona? What are you thinking?
So I can put 6 points into spread out across my skills, combat or non-combat.
Correct. As long as that you don't put anything.
Don't go up past 15.
Or higher. Yeah.
And then the other option was adjust a characteristic by 1.
Yep, so one of your, like, strength, dex, con, or appearance, or size. You can add 1 point to any of those.
Size means you get fat, which has some advantages.
I don't think you can get fat because you were so temperate this year.
That's true. You know what? That is so true. I was not indulging. I feel like I want to dump 6 points spread out across some skills. So I think I will... My spear is at 9, and I'm a spear maiden. I should at least put 1 point into spear, which would be make it a 10. And then, oh boy. Honestly, I want to get better at flirting. It's at a 4 right now, so...
Dump 6 points into that. It's 9.
If I do 4 points into that, I'm at an 8 now. On flirting, and so now I have a 1 more, and I think I'll put it in folklore. So I have a 6 in folklore. I started out with such low stats.
Yeah.
An 8 in flirting, a 10 in spear. That's 6 points.
Look, you really just—it's really just. This is her year. I think this is her year.
Yeah.
You know what?
This is gonna be it.
This is it.
How Dame Fiona this got her groove back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Dame Safina, which of these options do you think you're taking?
You know, I'm sitting at a 0 literacy, and I think I'm just going to put 6 points into literacy.
Yeah, there you go.
You both went to the same night school.
Yeah, night school.
You wanted your summer camp to improve, so.
Yeah, go to night school, learn how to read.
Yeah, I feel like reading anything, because after being at a 0, I think being able to just read a little bit might be
Yeah.
And Sequegan. Sorry to keep finishing with you, buddy.
You know, oh no, it's all good. I needed time to kind
of. You're going to decrease one of your passions. You're going to decrease your devotion. I assume is what you're going to do. I think like 3.
That's so weird. Like, why would you decrease a passion instead of? Well,
the reason
skills?
You would do it is if you've got like a passion that's becoming a problem for you in the same way that you might have a trait. Like for instance, Dame Fiona's honesty is being like, oh, fuck's sake, I really should. Like, that's dictating what I'm doing some of the time, right? But
I should try and be deceitful, yeah.
If I had kept having to deal with Saxons, like, my Saxon hatred could, like, get in the way of that.
Problem. So wanna, yeah. And you start to, like, learn that maybe they are just people. And,
yeah,
you
know. Which is not true, but yeah.
Okay, so I guess with the way things went over the last year, I have put a couple points into intrigue. For him.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good one. Yeah.
I thought that fit. I also increased his courtesy by one. I increased his folklore by one because of all that fairy stuff that we did. Mm-hmm. I increased his awareness by one or by two. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what else. I think that's about it. I didn't do any combat skills. I thought about fashion and then just kind of kept it because I was like, his clothes are sort of losing their luster a little bit. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, so mostly intrigue. Oh, and I also put one in orate. Like, this is one of his top skills from the start. So I just want him to keep getting better at that. So now he's at 12 orate.
Yeah, sick. All right, so we just got to do our passive glory. So remember, you've been adding your glory that you've been getting so far for the adventure. Anyone with a peel of 13 to 15, I think that's
that
everybody except...
Yes.
No, not you. Yours is higher than that, I believe, Dame Sathina.
Oh, 13 to 15. Got it. Yeah, mine's higher.
Everyone with 13 to 15 just gains a flat 10. Okay. And Dame Sathina gains 25.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Wow.
And if you're sitting at 11, a peel, nothing. Just nothing,
nothing
you get
happens.
Nothing.
Correct. Yeah, you're decidedly plain.
You better get good at flirting.
Oh,
yeah,
because
you're gonna need it. Yeah, it's just like, was that just like, Dame Fiona? You know, yeah, she's really funny. You know, she's
great. Oh, the handsome
face.
What
is she, funny or something?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Is she funny or something? For everyone with a famous trait or passion, which is a 15 or higher, for every one of those you have, you gain 25 glory to a maximum of 100.
Okay. Nice.
Each trait and passion you have that is 15 or higher gets you 25 glory to a max. So you can't count more than 4. Yeah. Maximum of 1.
Great.
Yeah, I got the max.
Same.
Now that I got my Valorous up to 15.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing that I didn't actually do last winter phase because I hadn't read through all of the new Pendragon GM handbook, which you can buy right now on chaosium.com. All of you gain 10 glory because at some point, all of you have made the GM laugh with pleasure.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I'll take it.
I like that.
Now, let's get a glory count. And first of all, before we count a glory, did anyone tick over to the next 1,000? Like, were you at, like, 2,099?
Sadly, no. Okay, close. Cool. Close.
Okay. Wait, maybe.
I'm close. Well, wait, hold on.
Ugh. Come on, Brian. Can you give me a little boost here?
A little boost?
What's a guy got to do to get 60 glory?
Earn more land, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so close.
Do I not get any glory for that
land?
That's
a good point. I was going to say that. Yeah, you should have for that whole event. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so you can have another, get another 50 glory just for that event of doing that very, very, like, that. Because that would have spread far and wide. Like, oh, did you hear about Sequegan, who, like, proved in court that it was actually, you know, it was Lady Montacute that owned that land, you know? So it's a... And wouldn't you know, it was weird then that he actually he inherited it. That was weird. Let's not think about it too much. Yeah, that's fine. It's wonderful. Wonderful what people
I
do.
I like that monk. I owe that dude.
Yeah. I just ticked over. I'm now at 3,001.
Okay, so you get another prestige reward. Now, remember, every time you get 1,000 points, you get a prestige reward. I don't think anyone's spent theirs yet. You can only spend your prestige rewards once. You get them for every 1,000 glory you have, and you can only spend them in the winter phase. So you can use one to raise any statistic on your character sheet by 1 point. You can use one to lower a passion by 1 point. You can use one to guarantee that you conceive an heir healthy, and you can use one to guarantee that another child of a different player is conceived healthy. End of a gen, just so you know. And we're about to get to this because, I mean, you don't have to spend them now, but I'm just saying you have to note that you have them. The last we didn't do this step last time because things were happening. Would anyone, you're getting old. You're getting old now. Would anyone like to try and find a suitor? Or actively have been looking for a suitor.
Yes.
Over the past year. Sir Quegan. All right, we'll start with you and then let everyone else think about whether or not you want to do it. Because I am using the Find a Spouse section of the Pendragon Campaign
Yes,
Kit.
Yes, yes.
Matchmaker.
The Pendragon Campaign Kit is the Pendragon GM screen. Comes with a few booklets with extra rules, some scenarios, and one of them is finding a spouse. So there is a random wife and random husband table. The way this works is you roll a d20 and there are a few modifiers. And I will tell you the suitor that you can find. Now, the thing is, you can be like, that's okay, but thank you. Lovely. You're very kind, but no. So you can also just take the roll. So there are, you're going to roll a d20. The higher you roll on the d20, the better the potential suitor you are found is. And I'll tell you your modifiers beforehand. You get +1 for each 1,000 glory you have.
Ooh.
I'm literally at 2,988.
Oh, you're so close.
So you get +2. You get +1 for each point of homage you have above 15.
That's probably pretty high.
What's exactly 15.
Okay. You get you don't have the money to give. Now, you can make a courtesy roll if you would like.
Yeah. I just put a point in that.
No. You right now you're like, I'm going to roll my courtesy.
No. I'm saying I just put a point in it. So
you
hopefully
did.
This,
okay, cool.
This
right,
helps.
Now the thing is, if you fail this, you can get negatives as well.
So you want
because you as in like if you pass it, you'll get a bonus. But if you like fail or fumble it, it'll make the roll worse because you were trying to
Natural 20.
Really?
Okay. I freaking fumbled it.
Oh, right
after you said
that.
So you make that'll give you -2 because you were just clearly, I don't know, maybe you got a bit drunk at the party where you met the woman. And the guys who were like, oh, here's Sir Quegan is looking for a wife. Perhaps your fine young daughter is like that guy over there doing the keg stand. I think not.
I have an 11 temperate.
Yeah, not that night you didn't.
Not that night.
So what's your total modifiers then? I think at 0 then. Because you had +2 for the glory.
Yeah, it evened out to 0.
Oh, since it's whatever you roll.
Let's see who you find.
Just roll another 20.
Maybe this isn't the year to find a spouse.
Because you are technically you are technically a vassal knight now. So you do have a different table than these other peasants will be rolling on if they want to find a...
Sir Quegan is not the diamond of the season.
No. Could you roll? Just roll a d20.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Here we go. Natty 17.
That's good.
Okay. All right.
I thought about not rolling this die because I just rolled a natural 20. I was like,
So you meet Diana.
I love that name.
Hold on. Wrong number. Sorry. Yeah, Diana. No, I was right. Diana. She is the widow of a rich vassal knight.
Oh, yes.
Just make
so much money. This
game
is so perfect for you.
I know.
Juicy, dude.
And you will, you can marry her if you like. I can tell you right now, can you roll 4d6?
Can you give me any personality traits?
In a second. Just roll 4d6. Okay.
Well, you want to get to know her before you decide if you want to marry her?
It's not the most important thing, Paula.
No. Here's the thing, though. So a friend of mine has got we were doing hot takes. Like, what's a hot take you have? Just about whatever. Mm-hmm. His hot take was that marriage used to be for consolidating assets and land ownership, and love ruined it.
Hot take.
That's hot take. He's not married. He is single.
I just roll 4d6, add it all up, and tell you the total.
Together. Yeah.
Okay. 14.
14. So you have 14 treasure, and she will also. So her dowry will be 14 treasure, which I'll tell you about at another time. There's another table.
Okay.
And she will maintain rights to some of the land as well. That's if you decide to marry her. Could you roll a d20 on the spouse's affection table, please?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. What'd you roll?
A natural 3.
Natural 3? After
She's
spending a bit of time with Diana.
No.
After spending a bit of time with Diana, you met her at some event where
did a keg stand.
The one where you kickstand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually She actually feels very loyal towards you. She's not in love with you. Aww. She feels very loyal, and she actually has a loyalty passion to Sir Creed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be about as good as it could get in this society.
I think we all know the Queekster is a long shot for actual affection. I'll take it.
Okay, so you marry, you marry the widow Diana.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got married.
Yeah.
I love you, Betty.
That's amazing.
So lovely.
Wonder how that wedding was, everybody.
Dame Fiona temperate at the wedding?
During the wedding.
Well, it was her temperate year, right? So yes.
It was my temperate winter, yeah. Hot girl summer, temperate night winter.
Hot girl summer.
Temperate winter.
Yep.
It's also a event. Witnessing and hosting special events. You weren't marriage of a minor king. No, it doesn't count. Sorry, it's not a big deal. Your wedding was not a big deal in terms of glory. I just had to check. Alrighty.
I think.
Would anyone else like to try and find a spouse?
I think if Sophina, being super chaste but also very religious, thinks like she must.
Yeah,
you know, it's probably like she feels like it's part of her duty to do all.
There is a slightly different table for random husbands.
Okay.
So you are a household knight. So if same deal though, you can roll your. So for every point of glory, for every 1,000 glory you have, you get plus one to the roll.
Man, I'm at 1963.
And what's your homage?
My homage is at an 18, so that's a plus one for that.
Well, that's actually for every point above 15, to a maximum of 10, so plus three.
Oh,
nice.
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 And then
you're so beautiful
like
and you smell
roll,
so nice.
Let's, let's make a courtesy roll because that's a 14. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So let's do the courtesy roll first. And I rolled a 3 under 14.
So you succeed, so that's another plus one.
Nice.
Plus one.
Okay.
So that's a plus 5 to this roll.
Dude, that has to be some impressive
that's so
dude.
So good.
Make a roll.
Okay. So just like on a 20.
Oh, by the way, sorry, Joe, did you write down your spouse's name and the fact that she's loyal to you?
I did. I didn't write down loyal. I wrote down she loves me, but I guess that was a mistake.
Yeah, we got to generate
I'll
that
delete
loyal,
that.
Loyal
real yeah, delete okay. the love, because that was
no, no,
clearly
so she
stated
love
that she
you.
Does
she's
not.
She's loyal to you, and she's loyal to you 12. She has 12 loyalty if that comes up. So just make that a note of that on your sheet. That's
Will
a
do.
Passion. A passion for your loyalty. Sorry, name's Sophina.
So I rolled a 12 on the die plus 5, so it's a 17.
17?
Yeah.
So you meet Maurice.
Maurice
is a mounted sergeant.
Ooh.
He earns £2 a year.
Wow.
That's more than Sir Quigan's new land holdings bring him in.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I have 14 treasure.
Exactly.
And he looks so good
means.
In uniform.
So if you want to marry this guy, first of all, do you want to know if he's been married before and does he have any kids running around?
I think it would be pertinent information.
Yeah, okay.
Important to know.
He is under the age of 45, so please roll a d6.
Oh, real quick question on that. Does the widow Diana have children?
It doesn't matter. She might.
I'm sorry, it doesn't matter?
No, because you will... If they have any heirs, The reason it matters for Dame Sophina... It's because if this guy has any kids, they could lay claim to her stuff if he dies, etc.
Oh,
but the thing is, if you are marrying her and she's got kids, you become the new. Are you familiar with Hamlet? You want to know if you've got any kids?
Of course. But what I'm saying is that's not part of the table. It wasn't on there, and for me, and so I can just decide if she has kids or not. Narratively.
What I was going to do is in a moment we're going to roll on the table to see if you. Produce a child.
Okay, her kids great. Don't matter to you because they aren't going to inherit your crap.
She has 7 stepchildren that all hate you with
Jesus. That's what I was trying to avoid, Brian.
All right. No, it's all right. Sorry, Dame Sophina.
I rolled a 5.
You rolled a 5. Okay, he has not been married before, which is good. And can you roll a d3 now?
Okay. So roll a d6 and...
Hobbit, yes.
Yeah, I bet you. Yeah. Okay. So I rolled a 6, so that'd be a 3.
Okay, so he does have one bastard child. It doesn't matter, because it's a bastard child. All right.
My goodness.
But that might matter to you as to whether or not you want to marry this guy.
Yeah.
Maurice, the mounted sergeant.
God, he was so appealing until...
I know. Maybe she preys on it.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, just keep him, just have him written down, because maybe you could marry him another time. Not sure if anyone else wants to try and get married. Maybe you can also meet people in game as well, because the two of you sort of have. Well, Lord Robert's mother,
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Skid, I didn't tell you about this, but in the Pendragon Game Master's Handbook, there's an entire section on, I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, Fine Amour? Yes?
Oh, okay. This?
Do you know about this?
It's is that the
act of flirtation and love, but without doing the actual physical act of love.
Yeah, this is the courtly love thing that I was talking
about. Yeah, exactly. That, exactly. The whole whole area on that. Anyway, something.
Yeah,
about.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Interesting. I think getting married at this juncture would be way too indulgent for the kind of winter I've been having. And so Dame Fiona is not interested yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also think Sophina would turn this guy down. He's 45, and she's like in her 20s, early 20s. And also, I think her religious conviction would be like, nah, probably pass on this one.
Mm. All right. So does anyone want to roll to see if they've had children? There was a chance she had children. So this is Quigan. Yeah. I mean, anyone can roll and be like, yeah, did I actually accidentally have a kid with somebody? But that's all right. It's more stressful for some of you than the other. But, yeah. Quigan.
How do we do this?
I would like to. So here's the thing. Whenever there's a chance that conception occurred during the year, the woman must roll her con, which in her case is a 13, applying any conception modifiers. From her personal events.
Wow. This game is wild. The number of tables in this game.
This is a bit tough. So there are following modifiers. Minus 10 if she had a child in the last year, which she hasn't. Minus X, where X is the number of years she is over 35. Minus 1 if she's poor. And minus 1 if she was impoverished, which is none of the
Makes
case.
Sense.
So I think it's just a straight roll against 13.
Straight roll against 13.
Yeah, her constitution is 13.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
Natural one.
Oh, okay. That's good. You passed.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, you're...
Now,
are you having a baby?
One baby.
No, well, roll a d6.
Oh.
Six tablets.
Yeah. Five.
Five. You have a blessed birth of a boy.
Wow, congratulations.
Aww.
Hey.
Wow. Now, can you roll what? So, blessed births, never roll for child survival. They are guaranteed to reach adulthood. So, we just really skipped over any real
that's awesome.
Bummer stuff.
Holy
that would
crap.
That's great.
Also
Aww.
Means that.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry.
That is amazing.
Could you roll a d20, please?
Yeah.
Eight. The child is magnetic and will grow up to have a base flirting bonus of +5.
Holy cow! He must have got it from his mom, you know?
So yeah, he must amazing. Have got it from that baby that was making eyes at you earlier.
Oh, wow.
Cool, so there's no, awesome. No need for any of the tragedy table or infant survival table or cause of death table or anything like that, which is great.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's
indeed.
Awesome.
What's your baby's name, Joe?
Yeah, you can think
of it. Mr. Quigan.
My baby's name. Glad you asked, Paula. You know what? I'm just going to name
him. Page 45. You can think about it.
What's that?
Page 45 has a big list of names as well.
Page 45 has a big list of names.
What do you think? You think I've just been pulling these names out of my backside the whole time?
Page 40. Oh, yeah. There it is. Page 45 has a list of names. Interesting. Oh my God, Melian. That's so funny. Now I see it.
Name after the monk. Name after the most important person in your father's life. Monk, brother Melian. Man.
That is great.
Oh, that's how you spell Idwallin.
Idwallin.
Oh, Idwallin. Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like Edwallin.
All right, I'm going to name this magnetic kid. This is a name that goes back for Skid and I. Little inside joke. Jasper, which is on this list.
Yeah.
So I'm going to name him Jasper. This magnetic, healthy, blessed boy.
And if we play long enough, you might one day play as Jasper with his extra.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
If your loyal wife, Diana.
It's just amazing. It's my loveless marriage. This is wonderful. Yeah. My loveless, loyal marriage.
Loyal, but loveless marriage.
Loyal, but loveless. And that brings us to the end of yet another winter phase. I hope everyone had a good time.
Dude, it was amazing.
We did it.
Right.
Love the winter phase.
Love the winter phase. It's just so much story. So much story is happening, you know?
Yeah, and I've made notes. The GMs out there, it makes a big difference when there are little seated things for you to draw upon. But we'll be back next week with more Pendragon as we start a new story. And unfortunately, I have to say that in the following year, drum beats and horn blasts will sound across the land as war marches on Lord Robert. And it will fall to his knights to defend the realm.
Yep.
So join us next week for Pendragon Under an Iron Sky here in the Glass Cannon Network.
Amazing!
See you then. Bye, everybody.
We'll see you then.
Bye, everybody.
Passengers, the Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.